What are you doing? Dinner. Are there's good news?
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down, black or white,
legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Russia had nothing to do with this episode.
Unglued. That is Donald Trump's current condition, at least according to an inside source who just spoke to NBC News. And while many may say Donald Trump's presidency isn't exactly known for being very glued together to begin with, this week's chaos has been pretty intense, even grading on any kind of, say, Trump curve.
This is madness!
I think we have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Is that you, Mr.
I'm
President?
I'm in the West Wing right now having a gigantic piece of chocolate cake.
So, Mr. President, I'm going to read back to you this very troubling tweet that you've written about my brother. Alec Baldwin, whose dying mediocre career was saved by his terrible impersonation of me on SNL, now says playing me was agony. Alec, it was agony for those who were forced to watch. Bring back Daryl Hammond, funnier and far greater talent. Mr. President, why would you take this attack on my brother and his impersonation of you?
First of all, everybody knows that Stephen Baldwin is the best Baldwin, okay? Number one, far ahead. Stephen Baldwin is a great American who gets it, okay? He gets it. Whereas number two is Daniel Baldwin, and I'm so grateful to you for having me on the air. Fantastic. Billy Baldwin, and the commie lefty pinko Baldwin. Democratic tradition. And then Alec Baldwin is like, he might as well just be like Che Guevara, okay? He's like a third world communist, okay?
Mr. President, you take a lot of time on social media. Aren't there other affairs of state that require your attention when you take so much time? Is this a distraction to you? You seem to be addicted.
Okay, let me just say this. Okay, I got this. I'm the president. I won. Okay, I'm a multitasker. I've always done a lot of things. I've always had five or six girlfriends at the same time. Okay. I can handle a lot, okay? I always put a lot on my plate. I can always handle it.
Well, now, ironically, Mr. President, on the other line, joining us in the conversation, is my brother, Alec Baldwin. Xander, are you there?
Yeah, hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, man. We've got the president on the phone right now, and he's written this terrifying tweet about you, about being a mediocre actor and that your impersonation is not that great. I have to say, Mr. President, I don't agree. I think he does an amazing impersonation of you, and I think that it has gained a lot of talent and awards for my brother. Why are you so obsessed with what my brother is doing, sir?
Okay, first of all, Daniel, now you've gone down the list. Okay, you're down there in the bottom with Alec and Billy, okay? You were number two, now you're number seven out of four, okay, which is hard to believe, but do the math, it really works, okay?
Xander, do you have any response to the president's attack on you today?
Well, if impersonating Trump and doing it, you know, by the seat of our pants here on SNL these last several months is the definition of mediocrity, then I'll take it, okay? We're doing our civic duty.
This is madness.
Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross says President Trump is on an even keel.
Thank you, Wilbur.
22 White House officials, friends, and advisors tell the Washington Post otherwise.
Mm. This is madness. It's madness, I tell you.
The Mueller probe is now eyeing Jared Kushner and whether his debt and business issues drove any foreign policy corruption inside the Trump White House. Mueller's team asking witnesses about Kushner's efforts to secure financing for his family's real estate properties, discussions during the transition from individuals from Qatar, Turkey, Russia, China, and the UAE.
That's just one sign of the chaos. Yesterday, we learned about the resignation of White House Communications Director Hope Hicks. On Tuesday, Hicks told Congress that she sometimes tells white lies for Trump. For example, that she only does it sometimes. That news did not sit well with the president, who reportedly berated Hicks and demanded, quote, how could she be that stupid? It's not just Hicks. Trump is reportedly freaking out about the way the media is dumping on senior White House son-in-law Jared Kushner. On Tuesday, we found out that Kushner's security clearance has been downgraded, and today we found out Kushner's security clearance is now lower than the White House chief calligrapher. And as if the White House shakeup weren't upshaken enough, this afternoon we just found out that they're preparing to oust National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster. That's right. It's the White House closeout sale. Every staff member must go. We're crazy.
So I can update the departure board for what's turning out to be a White House and a presidential administration absolutely unlike any other in terms of its ability to fire, lose, and repel top staff. I mean, this president has only been in office a little more than a year, and he's lost Secretary of Health and Human Services, White House Chief of Staff, Deputy White House Chief of Staff, another Deputy White House Chief of Staff, yet another Deputy White House Chief of Staff, Senior Advisor to the White House Chief of Staff, a National Security Advisor, Deputy National Security Advisor, another Deputy National Security Advisor. On the National Security Council, he's lost the Intelligence Director there and the Middle East Director there and the Director of Strategic Planning there and the Deputy Chief of Staff. He lost his Chief White House Strategist. He lost that other White House strategist where we don't really know what his job was, but he basically just went on TV a lot. They lost the Director of Public Liaison for the White House, the Communications Director for the Office of Public Liaison, the FBI Director James Comey, Deputy Director of the FBI, Chief of Staff of the FBI, the Special Advisor to the President on Regulatory Reform. He's lost the Director of Office of Government Ethics, the Counselor to the Treasury Secretary, the Director of the National Security Agency, the Deputy Director of the National Security Agency, the Deputy Director of the Domestic Policy Council. On the Vice President's staff, it has been amazing. The Vice President's Chief of Staff, the Vice President's wife's Chief of Staff, the Vice President's Press Secretary, Chief Counsel, and Chief Policy Advisor. The head of the CDC has left. White House Staff Secretary, the White House Speechwriter, Acting Administrator of the Federal Railroad Administration, the Associate Attorney General, Press Secretary, Assistant Press Secretary, the White House Director of Rapid Response, Communications Director, another Communications Director, Assistant Communications Director, the Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security, the Special Representative for North Korea Policy, the top person on Korea policy in the State Department for the past 30 years, assistant to the president in the Office of American Innovation, senior advisor to the defense secretary, U.S. ambassador to Mexico, deputy director of the National Economic Council is somebody who we lost a while back, but now he's lost the director of the National Economic Council, the White House chief economic advisor, Gary Cohn.
So I think at this point, the White House staff is just John Kelly and a fax machine that Jared isn't allowed to use.
I have the most dedicated people. I have the best people. I have the best people.
And I read where, oh, gee, maybe people don't want to work for Trump. And believe me, everybody wants to work in the White House. They all want a piece of that Oval Office. They want a piece of the West Wing. And not only in terms of it looks great on their resume, it's just a great place to work. So many people want to come in. I have a choice of anybody. I could take any position in the White House, and I'll have a choice of the 10 top people having to do with that position. Everybody wants to be there. And they love this White House because we have energy like rarely before.
This is madness!
Adult film actress Stormy Daniels is suing the President of the United States, Donald Trump, saying the hush agreement she signed is invalid because Trump never signed it. The civil suit alleges that her agreement not to disclose her intimate relationship with Trump is not valid because while both Daniels and Trump's attorney Michael Cohen signed it, Trump never did. According to the lawsuit, Clifford and Trump, Clifford being her given name, had an intimate relationship that lasted for the summer of 2006, well into the year 2007. That affair allegedly began while Trump was married to Melania and after the birth of their son, Barron. Trump has never addressed the alleged relationship publicly.
The suit alleges that Trump must have been aware that this payment had taken place, but that he may have not signed it by design so that he could distance himself from it if it ever became public.
Your lawsuit, her lawsuit, states that she had an intimate relationship with the president, but let's not bother to be delicate. Did she have a sexual relationship with the president?
Yes.
Okay. She also says, according to this document, that there were tangible items, photos, images, that she had them, and according to this agreement, she won't turn them over. She will never release them publicly. Does she still have photos, images, text messages, documents that verify this claim?
That's a question that Ms. Daniels will have to ultimately answer.
Do you know the answer to that question?
I do know the answer, and I'm not at liberty to disclose it this morning.
Michael Cohen has acknowledged publicly that he facilitated a payment of $130,000 from his own personal funds in accordance with this agreement.
We think it's highly questionable as to whether it came from his personal funds.
You think the president knew about it?
There's no question the president knew about it at the time.
It would appear that a lot of things about this payment raised a lot of flags in a lot of places. I mean, the payment itself was flagged by the bank to the Treasury Department, which is led by Donald Trump's friend Steve Mnuchin. It looks like he didn't even sign the agreement that they're saying is enforceable. And it would appear that, you know, forget about what the Russians have done with Donald Trump. A porn star has successfully been able to break free from what was obviously hush money about an affair and is trying to tell her story. Quote, to be clear, the attempts to intimidate Ms. Clifford, that's Stormy Daniels' real name, into silence and shut her up in order to protect Mr. Trump continue unabated, says the suit. On or about February 27, 2018, Mr. Trump's attorney, Mr. Cohen, surreptitiously initiated a bogus arbitration proceeding against Ms. Clifford in Los Angeles. Just a quick reminder for everyone about what else happened on February 27th. On that day, Hope Hicks admitted that she sometimes tells white lies about the president in her testimony to the House Intel Committee. Jared's spokesman resigned. The head of the NSA conceded that Trump hadn't directed him to fight Russian cyber attacks. And the country learned that Ben Carson spent $31,000 on a dining table.
This is madness.
Kellyanne Conway violated the Hatch Act with two interviews where she discussed the Alabama special election. The OSC, the special office there, submitted their report to the president for disciplinary action.
Now, the exchanges under question do relate to that race, that Senate race in Alabama between Roy Moore and Doug Jones. And you'll recall that at the time, President Trump, despite those accusations of sexual misconduct, including with minors, against Roy Moore, the president all but endorsed him at the moments of these interactions with Kellyanne Conway.
We now have heard that Kellyanne Conway has her own Hatch Act violation. We've now got Jared Kushner accused of doing something bad with the Hatch Act, Nikki Haley having violated it, Dan Scavino, the White House social media director. Richard, what's the problem with this? The Hatch Act is pretty clear.
The rule's quite simple. You do not, in your official capacity, endorse a political candidate. So if Kellyanne Conway wants to endorse someone for the Alabama Senate race who could be an accused pedophile or anybody she wants, she can do that on her own lawn, on her own time. But she doesn't do that standing on the White House lawn. She did not once, but twice, even though it was very clear that that's a Hatch Act violation. And she had already violated the Office of Government Ethics regulations by shilling for Ivanka Trump's clothing on Fox and Friends and was reprimanded by the Office of Government Ethics for that. You know, that's three strikes in 1 year. She's got to go out the door.
This is madness! This is madness! This is madness!
We are dealing with the president of unforced errors who gets distracted and he keeps changing the narrative when Russia gets closer and closer.
But the guy who's really upsetting Trump is Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Trump has been angry ever since Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation. And today we learned that Robert Mueller is examining Trump's apparent efforts to oust Sessions last July, which is shocking. There's still someone in the White House who was there last July?
Fewer than half of the 12 positions closest to the president are still occupied by the same people as when he came into office, according to a Brookings Institution study. Mr. Cohen's departure will bring the turnover number to 43%, according to updated figures compiled by Catherine Dunn Tenpas of the Brookings Institution.
Apparently, Mueller has been asking people about Trump's private comments and state of mind last summer when he issued a series of tweets belittling his beleaguered attorney general. But Mueller doesn't have to reach back to last July. Trump is insulting Sessions now. Apparently, behind Sessions' back, Trump calls him Mr. Magoo. Mueller is trying to figure out whether insults like these were an attempt by Trump to publicly shame the attorney general into quitting.
President Trump this morning denied there is chaos in the White House, tweeting, quote, "There is no chaos, only great energy."
This is madness.
This is politics.
Don't forget, John is great, and she is a great gentleman. He's now president for life.
We'll have to give that a shot someday.
For Trump and his people, Robert Mueller is a daytime horror movie. You know, he's methodically picking off your friends one by one, but only from 9 to 5.
Jared Kushner really blessed Donald Trump's decision to fire James Comey.
Right.
That set in motion this whole spiral.
There would be no Mueller if Comey had not been
it
fired.
It set in motion this whole so-called spiral of calamity. Mm-hmm. And shortly after this happened, Kushner actually went in and confronted Reince Priebus. I write about it. And demanded that the communications staff do a better job of defending the decision to fire Comey. Well, Steve Bannon whirled around, confronted Kushner, and said, this has nothing to do with staffing. This was bad decision-making,
right.
And it's all on you, Jared.
It was
Kushner.
A rainy day at Bedminster when the president couldn't golf, and we know when he can't do something, he gets kind of agitated,
that's
and Jared
right.
Kushner played on that, and that was when the decision to get rid of Comey was made, and that is going to be a decision that haunts anybody with the last name Trump for a very long time.
And yesterday, we were introduced to Mueller's latest victim. A former Trump aide by the name of Sam Nunberg.
What I would say, one, is the taxpayer is getting their money's worth. They were highly professional.
They talking about Mueller's investigators.
Mueller's investigators. They didn't call me in just to check a box. Everything they asked me, they knew, you know, it was backed up. I was happy to cooperate with them. And once again, I would say, once again, like I said to you, had Donald Trump just fired Robert Mueller
yep.
and not given that interview to Lester
you mean
Holt.
Fire Jim Comey.
Excuse me. Fire
know,
Jim Comey.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm jumping ahead. But had Donald Trump just fired Jim Comey, not given the Lester Holt interview, not had the Russians, I would not have been in there.
Did you leave with the impression that they knew more than a lot of the witnesses they see?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's what I'm saying. It was not a waste of time. I'm not a victim here. They had to have me in there.
The other question here, when you broaden
yes.
out, is this notion that the theory of the case may turn on Donald Trump knowing about the hacked emails in advance or partaking in it. Is it possible you think that he has that exposure
no.
or you don't think he made that
no,
mistake?
No, I think you'd be giving Donald Trump too much credit. I think if Vladimir Putin had a plot like this, he would have involved Donald Trump because Donald Trump would be able to keep his mouth shut about it.
You're saying he would be...
I'd say it would hurt Vladimir Putin.
You're saying Donald Trump, in your view, is innocent because he would be such a sloppy co-conspirator?
You said it like that. I'll say it this way, that I think that Vladimir Putin would be too careful.
During a whirlwind tour on cable news, former Trump campaign aide Sam Nunberg insisted he would defy a grand jury subpoena from special counsel Robert Mueller.
It unfolded live during several hours of rambling and breathless interviews on television.
What do I have to hand over all my emails to a federal investigator? It's not fair. It's really not fair. They're not going to send me to jail. You know what, Mr. Mueller, if he wants to send me to jail, he can send me to jail, and then I'll laugh about it.
I've never seen anyone abandon a threat midway through.
You know what they asked, which was ridiculous to me? They asked things like, did you hear people speaking Russian in the Trump office?
I want to hear directly from you. Do you think that they have something on the president?
I think they may.
What?
I think that he may have done something during the election, but I don't know that for
Why
sure.
Do you
think that Donald Trump says it? President Trump says he knew nothing about the meeting. Do you think that that's true?
No, you know it's not true. He talked about it a week before. And I don't know why he did this. All he had to say was, yeah, we met with the Russians. The Russians offered us something. And we thought they had something. And that was it. I don't know why he went around trying to hide. By the way, I think my lawyer's going to dump me right now.
Now, if you've never heard of Sam Nunberg before, he was an early aide to Donald Trump, who was hired and fired, and and then he was fired again, this time for using the N-word on Facebook. Yeah, which is shocking to me that someone got fired from the Trump campaign for being racist. Like, I thought they hired people based on that. Nunberg decided to go on TV and tell everyone that he was not a snitch. And then he started snitching.
I know Bob Mueller, I know that whole team. And they're right, and they probably have something on Trump. Trump did something pretty bad. Look, Paul Manafort, Rick Gates, crooks. They were crooks. I think Carter Page colluded with the Russians.
Sarah Huckabee is a terrible press officer.
Trump is the most disloyal person you're ever going to meet.
I mean, do you know the way I've been treated by Donald Trump? I mean, I hate the guy.
Do you think I was talking to Corey and Hope Hicks? I mean, while they were having their affair?
Damn. Damn. You know, I know the stereotype is that women gossip. But every man who works for Trump keeps proving that stereotype wrong. Think about it. Scaramucci, Bannon, and now Nunberg. These guys are like human WikiLeaks. The women, though, they keep their lock. Like Kellyanne Conway never snitches. Yeah, you actually leave interviews with her knowing less than when you started. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Fort Knox. Hope Hicks, she was communications director, and we never even heard her speak. And so after five hours of giving interview after interview about how he would never cooperate with Mueller, something clicked, and by the end of the night, Nunberg was singing a completely different tune.
You know what I was thinking about today, by the way? Mm-hmm. I was thinking, to save time, I've been advised against this, maybe I'll just give them my password, my email password, because what do I have to go
on? So then you're going to comply.
Then I would comply, yes.
Wow. So after 5 hours of a verbal car chase, it just ended with Nunberg offering Mueller his password.
Talking to you. Yeah. I have smelled alcohol on your breath.
I don't know what's more disturbing, him going on the news drunk or me having to watch the news sober.
Well, this White House is in free fall. It is coming apart at the seams. And it's just not clear to me that Donald Trump or John Kelly can fix it.
The big story continues to be Trump's trade war. On Thursday, he slapped a 10% tariff on aluminum and 25% tariff on steel. It could spark a trade war, especially after Trump's trade advisor said there will be no exceptions made for allies.
The latest move by President Trump can be best explained by the movie Mean Girls, which, as timing would have it, happens to be opening on Broadway this month. Timing's perfect. Brendan Greeley, editor of the Economic Newsletter. All we know so far. Brendan, give this to me.
All right, so it's all a question of how much power the U.S. has in the international trade system. So up until about 2000, the U.S. was, as far as international trade goes, Regina George in the beginning of the movie Mean Girls, right? We mm-hmm. set the rules. Everybody else lived by the rules. We chose who our friends were. Japan tried to keep the yen devalue. They tried to make fetch happen. We said, stop trying to make fetch happen. They did what we asked, right? We had power. So then what happened around 2000 was we invited a new pretty girl into the group, right? We said we can trade with China because it's going to be good for for us. It's going to reflect well on us. It's going to work out. That did not work out as we planned. And so right now, we are in the middle of the movie Mean Girls. What has happened is, you know, the Lindsay Lohan character who enters the group there, she gains power, she becomes more attractive, and she's not really a good person in the middle of that movie. That's where we are with China right now. We should not pretend that China is behaving well. They are stealing intellectual property. I think it's easy to argue that China is in an economic or a trade war with us already. The question is, how do we respond, right? So at the end of the movie, Regina George has understood what her power actually is, right? And the boring, hard work of figuring this out for the United States is figuring out what our relationships are with our trade allies, figuring out how to make sure that we lessen the consequences of international trade, particularly with China, on our own citizens. That's the hard work that we have not been bothered to do, either party, so far for the last 15 years since we've been trading with China, right? So we have a choice. We're choosing the wrong thing. Right now, this tariff is lashing out in an indiscriminate way. It's a way to prove our power again. And like Regina George in the middle of that movie, we don't have the power we think we do. Right?
Do we realize how much power Lindsay Lohan, i.e. China, does? This week, and the headline swept by us, we learned that Xi Jinping could stay in power indefinitely.
I think that's absolutely right. I don't think we do.
But Trump's not afraid of no trade war, mister. He tweeted on Friday, when a country, USA, is losing many billions of dollars on trade with virtually every country it does business with, trade wars are good and easy to win. Yeah, wars are easy to win. The war starts, you get your dad to get you 5 draft deferments, the war ends. So easy.
Thanks for the song from the last
poets.
John Williams, the
fellows.
Tom
Petty, Edwin Starr, Golden Earring.
And thanks to
Sarah Huckabee Sanders,
the
cartoon.
President
Ari Melba, Daniel
and
Alec Baldwin, C3PO, Mika Brzezinski, Joe Scarborough, Phoebe Buffet Hannigan, Stephen Colbert.
Rachel
Maddow, Trevor Noah,
Chris
Hayes, Savannah Guthrie,
Michael
Avenatti, Nicole Wallace, Kristen Welker, Ali Belshi, Richard Painter, Stephanie Ruler, Seth Myers, Sam Nunberg, Katie Ter, Jake Tapper, Erin Burnett.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.